Chapter 15. Shit, I think it might be something coming toward us, I told the princesses and Jenny, and I could tell it was getting louder.
Should we try to run?
Sienna asked, but I shook my head. I didn't want to get stuck in a loop of a trail if it meant we weren't prepared to fight. It sounds big and it sounds close, so let's get into a defensive position, I responded instead. My wives and I pulled out our weapons and stood back to back so we'd be prepared for something coming from any direction. But Rachel stood off to the side a little ways away, and her expression was anxious as she wrung her hands as we listened to the loud noise grow even louder with each passing second. I thought the sound was coming from further uphill, but the way the noise was echoing off the trees made it hard to tell. Then Sienna screamed, and I immediately turned to look at my blonde wife.
What is it?
Jessamine asked as she brandished her scimitar. Sienna didn't seem able to talk, so she just pointed toward the treetops ahead of us on the trail. And there I saw something truly horrifying. A huge pair of antlers was headed toward us from about 50 feet away through a new fog that had begun to swirl around us. I couldn't see what animal they belonged to yet, but whatever it was gigantic. Sienna, freeze time! I ordered the blonde princess. Hang in there, you can do it! Time froze for just me and Sienna, and while part of me wanted to go inspect the monster coming toward us, I also knew that could be incredibly dangerous. All I could tell was the huge pale brown antlers were as high as the treetops, and it seemed like the situation was going to turn Godzilla bad super fast.
Joe, I'm torn about what we should do,
Sienna grunted, and her face twisted with concentration as she focused on holding her time spell.
On the one hand, maybe we should go see what it is and you could shoot it with Genie's raft right away. On the other hand, we could focus on protection for the time being. Jenny's here with us, and we can't just let her get murdered by some wild beast we came across on the trail. My magic seems okay for the moment, but I'm scared if I let things stay frozen for too long, I won't be able to use it again when we really need it.
Fuck it, I'm going to run over and check it out, I told my blonde wife. Just hold on for a few more seconds.
Got it.
Sienna nodded.
Just hurry.
So I dashed up the winding path toward the beast, and when I saw it, I immediately gasped. The monster looked similar to a giant hairy Bigfoot, but with glowing red eyes and, of course, the huge antlers. It was at least 10 feet tall with shaggy brown fur all over its body, full of twigs and leaves. And when I saw its huge feet, I knew it was more than capable of making the thunderous noise we'd heard. I held up Genie's wrath, pointed it at the monster, and focused on the purple stone, and I actually managed to hit it with sparks. The attack left a small singed mark on its dark brown fur and a spot of blood, but it certainly didn't bring the beast down. I knew I didn't have much time left with Sienna's spell, so I ran back to the princesses, and I thought Ariana was probably going to need to put up her shield temporarily.
What should we do, Joe?
Sienna asked. I saw her face had tightened and she was breathing a little heavily. And I knew we didn't have long. We're just going to tell Ariana to put up her bubble right away to protect us, and then we're going to go from there, I said. From the rhythm of its footsteps, the creature didn't seem very fast, but I certainly didn't want that to change.
Okay, letting the spell go,
Sienna gasped, and the ominous crashing of the terrible animal's feet echoed throughout the forest again. Ariana, put up your shield now, I commanded my red-haired wife. And I almost immediately saw the shimmering bubble made of water the mermaid could generate on land. As it surrounded the 6 people in our party, I saw both Jenny and Rachel gaping at the side of Ariana's barrier. Suddenly, the horrible pounding grew a little quicker, and I knew we were going to have to come up with a strategy fast. Jenny, the rest of us can fight, but we need to protect you, I grunted. Jessamine and Ariana, I want you to work together to put up the most solid bubble you can. Make it out of water or metal or whatever, but just put it up to protect Jenny. Sienna, how are you feeling on your time magic? Because as soon as this thing gets close, I want you to freeze time again. Rachel, if you're going to show us your fighting skills, this is the time.
What is it?
Rachel breathed. I can't even explain it, I said as I shook my head. But whatever it is, it's fucking huge.
Okay.
The golden blonde sighed, and as I watched, she pulled the pin out of her hair. Her honey-colored locks grew until they were about 10 feet long, and then several daggers emerged from the tips of several long strands. The pieces of hair swirled outward from her head like snakes and wrapped around the hilts of the knives they were holding as if they had fingers. And they began to slither in the direction of the booming noise as if they moved instinctively.
Holy shit!
Sienna gasped, and her sapphire eyes nearly popped out of her head.
Rachel! Oh, my gods!
I guess you and Vincent weren't joking when you described yourself as a badass fighter, I remarked. But everyone around me gasped in shock when the giant beast finally came into view. And then the creature did something absolutely terrifying. It was now about 20 yards away, and when it lowered its head, I realized it was about to charge us. Sienna! I screamed. Now! Sienna grunted and squeezed her fists, and then time was frozen for myself and my three wives.
Okay, put up the bubble around Jenny, and do it quickly,
the blonde told her sister wives as she bared her teeth in a grimace.
We don't have any time to lose.
Sure,
Ariana said with a nod.
Jessamine, are you ready?
Yes,
the dark-haired princess confirmed, and I could tell from the look of concentration on her face that a big illusion was coming. I drummed my fingers against my leg as I waited, and then suddenly Jenny was enclosed in a huge bright silver ball.
That's two layers of protection,
Ariana said as she dusted off her palms.
One magical, one metal. Hopefully that will keep the girl safe while we fight this thing.
Awesome. Now, Ariana, I want you to stand back, I told the mermaid. I know you have daggers right now, but you don't really have anything you can use at a longer range.
I really wish I had my trident right now,
the redhead mused.
But I don't think I have time for Jessamine to make that for me. I'll stand watch, and if I see any sort of attack headed your way, I'll let you know immediately.
Sounds perfect, I said with a nod. Then I looked at Rachel's hair with the daggers sticking out of it and shook my head out of fascination. I didn't have much time, though, and while I wished we could dodge charging monsters like bullfighters, I didn't think it was going to work. I'm going to try to hit it with Genie's Wrath one more time, I told the princesses. It didn't work too well the first time, but I'll aim for the face now. So I pointed my huge golden sword directly at the monster's eye and focused, and this time a larger blast of purple sparks shot out. They directly hit their target, and just as time came whirling into motion again around us, the huge beast stood up straight again, put a gigantic paw to its face, and roared in agony.
Joe, you got it!
Jessamine cheered as she brandished a scimitar in either hand. I hoped it didn't come down to having to use our weapons at short range. But if we had to cut down each of its 6-foot-tall legs, we could definitely do it. Luckily, the beast hadn't yet displayed any magical attacks, so it seemed we were in greater danger of being mauled by a giant paw, or gored by a huge antler if it charged again. The monster shook its head like it was trying to shake off the pain of my attack, and then it seemed to catch sight of the huge silver ball Jessamine and Ariana had created around Jenny. One of the beast's bright red eyes was dripping with blood from where I'd hit it. But nonetheless, its crimson orbs lit up with interest, and it grunted, tried to move closer, and was seemingly transfixed by the gleaming metal.
What the air?
Sienna asked as she stepped back with her sword in hand.
Is he ignoring us for that thing?
I'm going to take advantage, I grunted. I want to take its attention off the girl, so I'm going to shoot it again. I aimed my sword at its head and shot another blast of violet sparks in the hideous beast's direction. I made contact with its nose this time, and the giant creature put up a hand to the seared flesh as a thin stream of blood ran out from the wound. Then the monster raised its paw up into the air, and I put my arms out to cover all my wives. Rachel seemed to be in a world of her own, and I watched as the strands of hair with daggers reached out and began to stab the beast from all sides, like some sort of murderous octopus. I saw the knives cut small wounds all over the monster's arms and legs, and up into its torso. But the beast merely batted them away. The golden blonde sighed with frustration, but I figured she had to be hurting it at least a little bit. The huge antlered creature kept its eyes on the giant silver ball, and suddenly it lowered its paw and swatted the sphere like a cat playing with a toy. Luckily, the beast was facing uphill, so it didn't immediately roll away, but I feared we were in danger of losing Jenny. I could hear the girl screaming from inside the ball, but I wasn't sure what else we could do to protect her other than bring the beast down. Just as the ball started to roll downhill again, Sienna froze time for the two of us, and we both stood there gasping for breath for a moment.
What the hell, Joe?
My blonde wife asked me, and I just shook my head. This thing is acting like a giant house cat, I replied, and I began to think. How could we use its distraction to our advantage?
Let me think about it. But I think you should shoot him again while you have the chance,
Sienna suggested. You're right, I nodded, and I immediately raised Genie's Wrath again and blasted the beast in the back of its head. Another stream of blood began to run out through its shaggy fur. But the thing was so fucking big, I wasn't sure how we were going to bring him down.
I'm trying to focus more on how many times I can freeze time as opposed to the duration it's frozen, if that makes sense to you.
Sienna informed me. It does, I said. And we need to figure out how to keep that ball from rolling. Maybe Ariana and Jessamine can hold on to it somehow, though I don't want to put them in the beast's sights. We need to figure out a way to distract him from the other side. I would say Rachel's daggers, but they don't seem to be doing much but cutting him a little bit at a time. The thing barely seems to feel pain.
I'm not positive, but I'm going to have to unfreeze time for just a moment.
Sienna said as her brow furrowed.
I wish I had frozen it for our other wives, but it's easiest when it's only the two of us, as you know.
Okay, so I'm going to yell out to Ariana and Jessamine to hold the ball, I informed the blonde. Maybe they can do it if they hold hands. And then we're going to have to figure out a good enough way to distract it so I can really get in there with Jeannie's wrath and do some damage.
Okay, it's a plan.
Sienna agreed, and then she let time go. The huge silver orb was still rolling downhill, and I was afraid we were going to lose Jenny altogether if we didn't act soon. Jessamine, Ariana, hold hands and try to grab it! I shouted, and my dark-haired and mermaid wives sprang into action. They positioned themselves on each side of the metallic sphere with their hands clasped and tried to keep it from rolling. But they were dealing with the weight of both the metal and the girl herself. Although she couldn't have weighed more than 100 pounds soaking wet, I didn't know how thick the metal was, and I saw my wives were both red-faced and panting within moments. We needed a way to end this fast. So I stood in front of my wives again, and I realized how lucky we were the monster was seemingly hypnotized by the shiny metal. Its eyes couldn't stay off the ball, and it didn't even seem to notice Rachel's octopus hair was still attacking it from all sides.
Wow, I can't believe this isn't working,
the golden blonde said as she looked over at me.
I'm really stabbing it, but it isn't stopping it in its tracks at all.
I see that, I groaned. And I could also see Jessamine and Ariana were only going to be able to hold the ball for a few seconds longer. Suddenly, Rachel came up with a new plan. And with another strand of hair that wasn't holding a dagger, she did something both simple and ingenious. Just like something out of a cartoon, a long-ass piece of hair swirled its way behind the monster's body and tapped it on the shoulder from behind. The beast actually turned to look behind itself, and I cheered silently. Then the ball started rolling downhill, and I knew I was going to have to catch it, which unfortunately meant turning my back on the monster. I was incredibly relieved it was distracted for a moment, but I knew we didn't have long. Sienna, do it! I shouted, and when time stopped moving, I realized she'd managed to make it work for not just the two of us, but for all the other princesses, including Rachel. The chrome sphere froze on its way down the hill, and the monster was frozen in place as it looked behind itself in confusion. Jessamine and Ariana, take down the shield! I know it's distracting the beast, but it's too heavy for the two of you to hold right now! Besides, I'm about to finish it off. Rachel, do you want to assist me? I walked right up to the giant beast's body, and I stabbed it directly through the gut with Jeannie's wrath. I must have hit some sort of blood vessel, because this time a whole crimson fountain spurted out like we were in a Monty Python movie. Rachel used her hair daggers to stab the creature several times all over its torso, too, and soon there was blood all over its chest. When the shields were removed and Jenny was out of her bubble, I could see the young girl curled up on the ground with her head pulled close to her knees.
I think we should all hide,
Sienna suggested.
We could pull Jenny out of the way, and then when the thing turns around, we'll all be behind the trees. This animal doesn't seem too smart, so maybe it won't notice us, and it appears pretty badly injured right now. Maybe our cuts were enough to kill it, Joe and Rachel.
That sounds like a great plan, I complimented my blonde wife. All of you princesses run away as far as you can behind the trees, and I'll pull Jenny out of the way. Are we ready? I don't think we have much time. My wives and Rachel dashed away as fast as they could, and I ran over, grabbed the teenage girl under her armpits, and dragged her off the trail. Just as I'd gotten her behind a tree, Sienna's time spell broke, and I watched from my hiding spot as the huge beast discovered its new wounds. I put its paws down to its belly, and then it raised its arms up again in front of its face and examined the scarlet liquid dripping off them. The creature roared in pain, and although it appeared to sniff around us for a moment, it seemed to be distracted by its injuries. I silently cheered as it began to slowly limp away up the hill, and the beast left a huge red trail in its wake. Its thunderous footsteps, which were much slower now, echoed throughout the forest again, and I watched silently as the beast got further and further away. Jenny, who was seemingly speechless, laid trembling in my arms. I looked down at the girl and tried to give her a reassuring smile, and when she struggled to sit up, I put my finger to my lips in the hope she'd remain quiet. Time seemed to be moving in slow motion as the beast ambled away, and I wanted to hold out just a couple of minutes longer. It seemed like I had to wait forever, but when I finally thought it was far enough off in the distance, I raised my hand to give the princesses the all-clear sign. The women slowly crept out from behind the trees, and we all stared at each other in horrified shock as we tried to catch our breaths.
"What in the name of the gods was that?"
Jenny gasped, and she pulled herself up from my lap to a standing position.
"What just happened to me?"
"That huge beast wanted to attack you,"
Sienna explained in a sympathetic tone.
"But everything is okay now, so we can get you home to your family."
"I know monsters are in these woods. I'm talking about what you did. One second I was just standing there, and then next I was inside something... metal? And water? What was that?"
"That was our powers,"
Jessamine sighed.
"I guess it's kind of hard to explain, but I'm glad we all seem to be safe now."
"Jenny, you already knew things like that live in these woods?"
Rachel asked the girl, with her golden eyebrows furrowed.
"Have you ever seen a beast with antlers before that stands as tall as the trees?"
"No, of course not, or I'd probably be dead."
The teenager giggled morbidly.
"I just know I've heard in fairy tales about Gertha's second-in-command, and it sounds like that thing. An animal bigger than any bear with huge antlers?"
The princesses and I looked around at each other. Gertha's second-in-command? That thing? It hadn't seemed too hard to defeat given its stupidity, but the girl was from this area and had apparently heard all the stories. I looked down at the blood spilled on the trail, and an idea popped into my head. I wanted to run it by the princesses first, but I didn't necessarily want Jenny in on the conversation. I could hear the beast's booming steps getting quieter as it moved further away, and I knew I only had a matter of minutes before my plan wouldn't work. I hated to send the teen home on her own, but my wives. Rachel and I didn't have a moment to waste, so I looked down at the young girl and sighed before I began to speak. "Jenny, you know your way home, right?" I asked the girl.
"Of course,"
she said as she nodded her small brown head.
"Now that I'm back on the trail, I do. As long as it stops looping in circles. I could usually make the trip in my sleep. And look, it's even sunny again. When I was going in circles, it was darker and scarier."
When I looked around, I realized the fog had cleared, and Jenny was right. Huge beams of sunlight streamed down through the trees, and I could even hear birds singing between the sounds of the beast's footsteps. "Well, then, I want you to run home," I explained. "I don't want you to stop for anything or anyone. Just keep going down that trail until you reach the village, and if anyone asks what happens to us, tell them we're going to find Gertha."
"Okay,"
the girl nodded, and then she turned to all of us one last time.
"Goodbye, I guess, and thank you again for saving me."
As I watched, Jenny followed my directions and began to sprint down the path. She was going so fast, I hoped she wouldn't trip and sprain an ankle, but I supposed it was out of my hands now. Then I turned to look at the princesses, and I wondered if they were thinking what I was thinking. "So I have an idea," I said to the women, and they all looked up at me to await my next words. "If that thing is Gertha's minion, do you think it'll lead us to the witch herself?"